I want to greet all those today that have joined us through television and web. We're just so thankful that you would take time to be with us, starting a new series this weekend called God Revealed. And I believe that God is going to reveal himself in an amazing way in your life and in your heart right there where you're watching. Church, why don't we clap our hands for all those who have joined us through the web and through television. 3 weeks ago, you know, during the storms that we've been facing as a community, just in one of those moments, I just stopped and sat down with a couple of our team here, and we started talking about what God was teaching us. And we had just come out of a series, some of you remember this, back in August before the storms happened in our community, called Change Your World. And so our world got changed a little bit, and so we were heading into a theme in the month of September, a little bit in October, and the theme was called fuel. And I've just not had good experiences with fuel the last month, so we just kind of reconsidered that. And we just really began to pray and ask God, Lord, where are you leading us? What are you saying to us? Because we believe in a now word. We live an active life, and God's word is active. So we just don't want to pull a message out of a book and just say, okay, here's what we're talking about. We want to say, okay, God, what are you saying right now to us as a people? Your word is fresh. Your word is relevant. What would you want to say to us as a church throughout all of our campuses? And I just felt like the Holy Spirit changed our direction and really just did a 180 for our teaching. So we wanted to go with God. And I believe that God has given us this targeted series for the next several weeks to encourage and to reach, called God Revealed. God Revealed. And I really believe it's going to be an open discovery of what is God like? What is God like? What is he like in moments like this? How does God reveal himself when we go through different seasons and different circumstances? How can we find God when we suffer? How can we find God when we have good moments? How do we find God? What is God saying to us? And we're going to be looking at five different accounts from Scripture that Jesus had with individuals that I believe are going to teach us not only what he did, but what he is still doing today. See, these stories and the truth that's in Scripture, it's not just to look back and say, wow, that's pretty cool what Jesus did. We're able to look at it and say that Jesus can do this now. Bring it into our current life. So we're going to see God revealed as we look at God caring for us, as we look at God's forgiveness, as we look at how God saves, as we look at how God restores, and as we look at how God heals. So I just believe that God's going to do the same in our life. So let's look into this whole thought, God revealed. And today in this installment, we're going to talk about God cares. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We pray that we would be able to learn and grow from your word. Your word makes the difference. It cuts through everything. Everything, everything, everything. Lord, I pray that I would decrease and that you would increase. I pray that the Spirit of the living God would speak to us out of his word. Your word is alive. Your word is not something that used to be. We're not reading something that used to work. We're reading something that is alive today. So, Father, I pray you speak to us. Jesus, have your way. Lord, I thank you that you can talk to the heart. Teach every heart today that you care for them. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and smile a little bit and say, I'm glad you made it to church. Glad you made it to church. Come on, look at that other neighbor that looks like they're in a bad mood and say, I guess I'm glad you're here too. I got an imagination. I kind of was a little ADD when I was growing up and spent about half of my educational life in resource and just had a lot of time on my hands. And so imagination has never been something that I've been short on. So I was thinking this week about God cares and the closeness of God and God revealed. God revealed. And so I just want to do a little mental exercise with you. I want you to kind of, you know, think with me, kind of imagine with me that when we get out of church today at our service and just a few minutes that you're in the parking lot and you're trying to get out. I know it's 10 o'clock service and 12 o'clock service is coming in. And I know how kind you are to the 12 o'clock bunch because they need it. And they've slept late and they've got issues. And so imagine with me that when you're in your car and you're leaving the campus, and as you're right here on Healing Place Boulevard, you see me run out of the church and I'm like, whoa. And I knock on your window, roll down. And I say, by the way, I need to tell you, I just kind of heard kind of from the Lord, and when you get home, he's going to meet you at home. And he wants to spend the afternoon with you. And he wants to have lunch with you today. And y'all just kind of have an intimate lunch right there in your little breakfast nook or your dining room or right there in your kitchen. And he just wants to spend some time. So by the time you get home, he'll probably be there waiting on you. Now here's what I want you to imagine. What is your feeling automatically? What do your emotions do? What do you think about to know that when you leave here, how did I leave the house? Okay. I'm dropping my kids off somewhere else because they're not going to be there. Is the dog there? I mean, think about what would happen to think that you would be at an up-close personal moment in just a matter of 10, 15 minutes, and God would be revealed to you in your home, and you would discover right there at your kitchen table what God was like. What would you learn? What would you learn differently that you didn't know? Have you ever met someone and you thought you knew them, but then all of a sudden, as you got to know them, they were nothing like you thought? You ever saw somebody that you thought was a snob, or they were uppity, or they thought they were all that, and then you got to know them, and they were just like you? Have you ever looked at someone's life, and you just imagine they've got everything together, they don't have a problem, they never have issues, and they just are so perfect, and then you get to know them, and they have issues just like you? Matter of fact, they got worse issues. I believe there'd be a lot of things that you would discover about the living God that you would say, I had no idea he was like that. Jesus did that constantly. Constantly, Jesus would be in a situation and the people just knew that they could totally define who God was through their rules and through their regulations and through some of those who pretended at times to represent him. And then Jesus comes on the scene and totally disrupts the normal thought of who God is. Because Jesus said this. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, John 14, 2 or 3 times, me and the Father, we are one. And so Jesus did that. Jesus had these encounters with people and with his disciples and with large groups and small groups where all of a sudden they discovered, their eyes were open to what God was like. And there was this irresistible drawing from the true heart and the pure heart that said, I want that. I need that. And it's just amazing. I want you to turn in your Bible to Mark chapter 7, because I believe this is one of those snapshots as we look at as we see how God cares. As God is revealed through the life of Christ, we can see that one of the great truths about our God is that God cares. And we see that in Jesus. We see that in Jesus. The fullness of the Godhead, Colossians tells us, dwells in Christ. In him we live, we breathe, in him. Mark chapter 7, I'll read to you. We'll read from verse 24 to about verse 31. Talking of Jesus. It says, then Jesus left Galilee. Galilee was where he did most of his work. And he went north to the region of Tyre. He tried to keep it a secret that he was there when he arrived. But he couldn't. As usual, the news of his arrival spread fast. Right away, watch this. So he's in a new city. Right away, a woman came to him whose little girl was possessed by an evil spirit. That word possessed means under the complete and total control of. So this woman shows up who has a daughter who's under the complete control of an evil spirit. She had heard about Jesus, and now she came and fell at his feet. That's a good place to be at the feet of Jesus. She begged him to release her child from the demon's control. I think that's so interesting. Jesus is normally reaching people in the area of Galilee. It's Jerusalem, Capernaum, Bethlehem, Nazareth, those areas. But then it says he goes to a different city, a city called Tyre, which was a port city. A lot of trade, a competitive trade city. It's 60 miles away from Galilee. 60 miles. Matter of fact, if you go and you look at the travels of Jesus, this is one of the furthest spots that Jesus ever goes to. Do you know Jesus really lived in a region from about Lafayette to about Kenner? That's the furthest he traveled. He didn't travel all over the world. He stayed in a small spot. This was one of the furthest spots that Jesus and his boys ever went out to. So he's at a new spot. He's at a new place. Then it says a woman shows up. As he reaches this city, he's been traveling for a day or two. I don't know how long it took him to get there. He reaches this city. It says as he reclines, he's there with his disciple. I'm sure he's in the home. It's the men, the Jewish men. The families are there. It's a Jewish culture. And so all of a sudden, it says a woman shows up. Now, this woman is Gentile. And not only is she Gentile, she's from that area which they called Syrophoenicians. It was kind of like another whole world compared to the world that they were doing life in. I'll give you a little example. On Friday, we went to the Parkview game, and it was in Mamou. I've never been to the metropolis of Mamou. Can I tell you this? It might as well be 1,000 miles from the streets of Baton Rouge. Even though there were some similarities, Mamou is another world from airline. And so here we are, 60 miles away, 90 miles away. But guess what? It's like it's another whole region. It was another whole empire. She was a Syrophoenician woman, which means she was a mixed race. In those days, being multi-ethnical was a challenge for the Jewish people, was a challenge for that culture, for all races. It was different when there was a kind of a mix. So here she is. Bible tells us she's a young mom. She has a daughter now. So we've got a new city. Now we have a woman who interrupts this dinner. And now she begins to tell Jesus about a daughter who was demon possessed. She showed up. Excuse me. And she asked for help for her daughter. It's a very clear request. It's very simple. I don't know what y'all are doing now, but I need help for my daughter. Because my daughter is under control of something dark and scary, and I don't know what's going on. I think this woman so loved her daughter. This woman so loved her daughter that she was not afraid to even become an embarrassment. She was not afraid even to be awkward to get the attention of Jesus. You know why? Because she had made the misery of her daughter her own misery. Can I have a good amen from every mom in here? There's not a mom in here that you do not understand that when your child goes through something, you go something. Oh, don't tell me it's your problem. It's my problem too. We make the misery of our children our own. As grandparents, you'll do the same thing. The misery of your grandchild. You can't detach yourself from that. How can you detach yourself when your daughter is struggling? You can't do that. You're totally connected to your son's problem. And there she is in the middle of this whole different kind of scene. And she says, I need you to help my daughter. It's a clear request. Now, Jesus does something that is remarkable. He says this in verse 27. Jesus told her after he heard this request, first, I should help my own family, the Jews. It isn't right to take food from the children and to throw it to the dogs. That's an odd response. What a response. A woman comes up to the Savior of the world and says, I need you to help me with my daughter. And Jesus looks and says, wait a minute. I've got to take care of those that are first in line. That is my own people. How can I now take care of the dogs? That's interesting, that word dog. You would think that that's going to turn her away, that is a rejection, that Jesus basically is shutting the door. He's not shutting the door. He's finding out, is she for real? Because Jesus knows what everybody thinks about her. When she walked in and interrupted, most of the people in that room could not give a care about that woman. Because, matter of fact, in Matthew it says that they begin to scoot the woman out. You got to move on, move on, move on. You bothering the Savior. You bothering our meeting. You bothering our get-together. Get on out of here. Go, 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 go. Shoo, shoo, shoo. Shoo, 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 shoo. So they treat her like a little house pet. And Jesus recognizes that and says, don't you know you're one of the unnoticed ones? Don't you know that you're one of the last ones that everyone considers? And he calls her a dog. That word dog right there really means puppy. Calls her a little puppy. I think that's so interesting because I don't. If you have a puppy that many of you know, or a dog, many of you know that dogs are like our other children now. And when you go on vacation, you plan vacation around how we're going to take care of the dog. You go to dinner at night, you want to know, can somebody go by and check on the dog? It's serious. They're like a part of the family these days. I know we have one. Before we go to bed at night, one of the last things I do is check on the dog. Is the dog okay? Kids in bed, door's locked. Where's the puppy? Everybody okay? The other day, it's just amazing, little puppy. I'm sitting beside, and this big diesel truck pulls up beside me. This big Ford dude's just making a lot of noise. Wah, rah, 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 rah. And he's just sitting over there, and I just kind of look at him and think, God, he's going to kill me if I look at him again. And I look at him, he's just, wah. I look, all of a sudden, this little Yorkie pops up. because they're like hyper, like crazy. He's like, settle down. Oh, man, that's ironic. It was wild. He's got the Yorkie riding around with him, kind of checking out the job sites. Can't leave it at home. Got to go with me. So Jesus gives this reply, and he says, you're not priority right now, little puppy. Now watch what she does in verse 28. She replies, that's true. But Lord, even the dogs under the table are given some crumbs from the children's plates. That girl is good. She says, well, that's fine. You call me a dog, you call me a puppy. I'm okay with that. I do not mind being considered under the table as long as you help my daughter. I don't care what you call me. I don't care what you think about me. I don't care what you look at me. I don't care how you think. None of that matters to me. All that matters to me is I've got to get help for my daughter. That woman has amazing faith. That she almost gets kind of turned around, but yet she refuses to accept no, even though the disciples are telling her to go along. And she almost kind of gets insulted. It's kind of a tough response that Jesus gives back to her. But yet she says, that's fine. I don't mind if you consider me under the table. I don't mind if I look like I'm second to everybody else. I don't mind if you refer to me, and everybody in this room thinks that I'm lower than everybody else. But here's what I've learned about being under the table. There are at least crumbs. You know, sometimes in life we feel like that we've been left under the table. Everybody else has had it so much easier than us. Why have I had to have it so hard? Why has everything been harder for my family? Why does everything always have to happen to me? Why I've always had to struggle? Why I've always tried to fight for ends meet? Why do I never have anything left over at the end of the month? Why have our family always had to work two jobs? We've had to struggle and we're always dependent on others. Why have we always been in that place? When everybody else has sat at the table and other people have just had it easy to them. I've been underneath the table. She takes that and turns it around and says, it's not too bad being under the table as long as the master is taking care of me. Boy, that woman is something else. Most people, church, would have got offended. Said, what'd you call me? Oh, you call me a dog. Oh, I'm leaving here. Y'all ain't never gonna see me. Call me a dog. What do you think about it? So often people have got offended. What'd you say to me? I cannot believe you would speak to me in that matter and would leave. And guess what? She'd save her pride, she'd lose her daughter. How often our pride and our ego gets in the way. She would have let her offense stop her from getting a miracle. How many times in church or in life do we get offended because someone challenges us, or we go through a test and we get offended in the test and we want to get out of the test? Well, I'm quitting. I'm leaving. I'm not staying here anymore. I can't believe this. I'm leaving. And all of a sudden, guess what? Because we walk in pride, somebody else misses out. Could I have a better amen? I mean, you think about it. Most would have said, I'm not putting up with that. They'd have held on to their ego. While that precious daughter would have sunk deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. Well, at least I got my pride. But you're losing your family. What would you rather? I'd rather get under the table. Because she thought, if I could get a crumb from this bread of life, it may change everything. So look what Jesus does. He hears her that reply. And I love this. He looks at her in verse 29 and says, that's a good answer. Whoa. You kind of brought it back to me. Look, he says, good answer. And because you have answered so well, I have healed your daughter. When did he heal her daughter? I didn't read about an exorcism or a gathering. When did he do that? He just willed it out of the deep well of compassion and out of his power. I have healed your daughter. When she arrived home, her little girl was lying quietly in bed, and the demon was adios, gone. Shoo, 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 shoo. Never to return again. I love that picture, church. One of my favorite pictures in the Bible of what God is like. He says, girl, you going back home. I've taken care of things. Can I just give you demon lesson 101? Jesus is stronger than the devil. Period. Period. Show you something. The demons leave. They are gone. Jesus is not even in the same room with them. His power transcends any and all distance. That ought to give you hope. Let me wrap this up. I like this woman. I want to meet her when I get to heaven. I say, where's the Syrophoenician woman at? I got to go have an exchange with her. Because she had a lot against her. She had a lot that was down on her. But she had some cool traits. I wrote down just a couple. She was singular in her purpose. Singular purpose. She knew what she wanted. And when the disciples said, excuse me, are you with somebody? You better get out my face. Excuse me, can I help you? I know what I'm doing. She wanted one thing. I want help for my daughter. She had a singular purpose. She had an optimistic outlook. Just, what's up? Yeah. It's like, well, you can't come in. Yeah, I can. I mean, don't you love optimistic people? It's like, you know, you're losing your hair. My forehead looks great, though. Don't you love optimistic people? You're just like, this is great. Woo-hoo! Optimistic. She had a total resilience. Just kind of bounce back ability. Just maybe get put down, kind of have a bump, kind of have a speed bump. But just, okay. Just get right back up. She had an indomitable persistence. And she's like, okay, I'm a dog, I'm a puppy, but I'm a pit bull. She locked on, wasn't getting off, boy, she was staying on it. She was undiscourageable. Sounds like the people of Louisiana. We will not be discouraged. We will thrive. We will soar. We're going to make it. And you know what else? She had the gift of cheerfulness. Even in the midst of trouble, just, it's going to be okay. I love it. And he said, I have healed your daughter. You go. She went home. When she got close to her house, she walked in. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's not a parent here that don't understand when the atmosphere of your home changes. Something's different about them. Something's different. Where's my girl? Where's my baby? I don't know what happened, but sometime earlier today, everything changed. And that confused, tormented, dark, disturbed, self-destructive behavior broke. And she's in there taking a nap. And that mother goes and sits down beside that baby and begins to rub her head. She says, I got my daughter back. Why? Because God cared about me. He met her emotional need because she was totally drained, stressed. He met her relational need. I'm going to put your family back together. And then he met her spiritual need. Because she says, Lord, please help me. I have one last question. What was Jesus doing way up there? Because here's something I noticed. And she arrived home and her little girl was lying quietly in the bed. The demon was gone. Verse 31. Jesus left Tyre and went back to the Sea of Galilee. Why did he walk and walk 70 miles? The disciples, where are we going? Come on. Where are we going? Come on. We've never been up in this area. This is not the best area of our region, Jesus. I don't know. We heard last night there was somebody that was like camel jacked. I don't know what was going on. This is not good. We're not used to not our world, you know. Come on. He gets into a home. He's been walking. And he sits down. And everyone's talking. And everyone's clamoring. And then all of a sudden, he sees this woman. And he says, I've been waiting on you. I'm waiting on you. Bring it on. What was he doing way up there? You know what he was doing way up there? He knew there was a woman and a daughter that was sitting in darkness. You know what, church? God cares about what matters to you. God cares about what matters to you. That's why he was way up there. Because there was a daughter that was sitting in darkness. And the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested that he might destroy the works of the evil one. Jesus said, this is why I came, was to walk way up here and to meet your need, because I care about you. Amen.